diamonds in my teeth, I got a lot of shine. Running up the number, that's a lot of crime. Try to take it from me, must be out your mind. I keep playing, lot of slime. Smoky in the air, that's a lot of pine.
Welcome to 4th and John, episode 229. It is Dallas week. We have this on all our calendars circled. You have your anniversary, you have your maybe child's birthday, maybe your own birthday. If you don't have kids, you don't, you know, whatever. But hey, we've been waiting for this for 365 days. You might have family members, like my man's Prime down below, who might be Cowboy fans. So this is a personal week for a lot of people out there. You know, it's overall, we've been waiting for this battle because we're trying to figure out who our Eagles are. NFL is trying to figure out who our Eagles are. We faced a Atlanta team who's, you know, kind of, they're all right. You know, we hit a better defense in week two. You know, and then we're going to face a better offense in week three. So, we're going to figure out, we've been hit with adversity. We've had some veteran leaders get injured, get banged up, and Jalen Hurts. We would like to get a W. We want the bragging rights. It's about time to, show the identity of this football team. And I feel like Jalen Hurts has got the best opportunity to show out this week and show us who he is as a leader, because obviously we like what we see from Jalen Hurts. But overall, it's Dallas week. We are here, and I'm excited. Evan, how are you feeling, my guy?
I'm feeling pumped, man. Dallas week always just adds an extra little kick, you know, going into this game. I was listening to the radio earlier, and I got to tell you, I was a little bit discouraged. The juice out in Philadelphia, out amongst the fans, doesn't really feel like it's there right now. I feel like it's our responsibility, us four, and this whole comment section, we got to get these people the fucking riled up, man. We got to get them amped up. I can't even say correct sentences right now because of how excited I am about this game. It's going to happen this Sunday. To my point, it seems like they were talking about on the radio today about this whole younger generation of fans that really don't have this hate in their heart for the Dallas Cowboys. Man, you guys must just not have met the right ones yet, because the Dallas Cowboy fans that I know that grew up in the Philadelphia area, that have never been to Texas, that are my age and have never seen a Super Bowl and claim those Super Bowls in the 90s to be their own, it's despicable. They're cockroaches. I can't stand them. So it is our job today, and I feel like we can get the job done, to just get everybody on the same page that it is fuck Dallas before this Sunday game.
That's definitely going to be the goal for this show, man, is to get everybody on the same page with the fuck Dallas. You know what I mean? I've been saying it all week. I've been ready. I'm glad the day is finally, the week is finally here. Like Gail mentioned earlier, yeah, my brother's a Cowboys fan. This is something that we, you know, that always leads up throughout the offseason, throughout the year. We just like talking shit. Well, listen, man, I mean, since Sunday, I've been running my mouth, and I'm not going to stop. He knows where I'm at with Dallas. I can't stand them. You know, this is the game that I look forward to every year, especially when we play in Dallas, man. That I actually rather, you know, the game in Dallas, because I like to go to your fucking city and disturb the peace, like whatever you want to call it. You know what I mean? Like, you know, kick the goddamn door in and disrespect your hometown, everything, you know, walk out of there with a W. So I'm excited, man. I'm pumped. These cow bitches ain't who they think they are. And we're going to go in there Monday night, and I'm telling you, we're going to show them, man. Jimmy, what do you think?
Ladies and gentlemen, you know it's time. I don't know who the hell is out there not pumped about this damn week, because yeah, it's Dallas week. Sure, you can have a little sour taste in your mouth for Monday, but we talked about this season. Let's temper expectations, but let's get behind these young guys. And this game, oh, we all know, so very important, a first divisional matchup for us this year, and it's against the Dallas Cowboys in their house. And ladies and gentlemen, we saw a little bit of what Jalen Hurts, he can do with this offense. There were some miss, maybe even just calls, but also throws from Jalen. There were definitely some miscues, and they need to learn. So I'm excited because everything I've heard this damn week has been about accountability, something we talked about all damn off season. These guys went in there, and it wasn't just the players, the coaches, everyone who failed has to learn. And you know what? We're losing Brooks. We're losing Graham. Oh, man, that's unfortunate. But guess what? Next man up. Hungry dogs run faster. Whatever the hell you got to use. I don't give a damn. It's time to get pumped. And what perfect week other than the Dallas week for you to get pumped up about the birds. Let's get behind our team. And I can't wait to talk about it with you guys tonight. Thank you to everybody who's tuning in because we are going to get you on that same damn page because I get it. Ben Simmons, all this other crap going on out there. But don't let that get in the fact of the matter that fuck Dallas. The Cowboys suck.
I mean, obviously, man, people are excited, man. There's been this weird energy. Like, I don't feel like it's the normal F Dallas vibes that it have been in the past. I don't know what it is. Like, people are saying the Ben Simmons stuff. I don't know. Like, I have this feeling like Eagle fans are trying to figure out who this team is. They're like, is this the squad that, you know, can go into enemy territory and get a dub? Because I mean, this is seriously a pivotal moment in this season where you either can go, you know, north or you can go south with this. You know, you catch two L's and then you roll into the Chiefs. So yeah. I mean, you or you could take this W, beat a division rival, and this is a huge rival game. You take that and build off it and create energy. So I feel like, you know, everybody's trying to figure out who this squad is. I think there's a lot of opportunities for the Eagles to you know, really set the tone for the season. So talking about let's get into it. Let's get into it. Like let's talk about some of the matchups. If there's any key matchup that we're all looking to take advantage of, being Philadelphia, what would be some of your guys' key matchups you're looking to take advantage of?
It would have to be, for me, we have to take advantage. This game starts in the trenches, man. I would say it's our offensive line versus their defensive line. We need to get the ball down the field. We need to get the run game started early, and there's only one real way to do that. That's to have a strong defensive offensive push up front. If we can get that done, that opens up the passing game. And quite frankly, I have the feeling that this is going to be somewhat of a high-scoring shootout game. I know there's a lot of people that are feeling that it could be the contrary, thinking it's low-scoring defensive game. I don't know, man. I think that Monday night is going to be all about the fireworks. I think that it's going to ultimately come down to who scores last. And I'm thinking the Eagles can be that team if they just execute correctly and Nick Sirianni comes out with the right game plan.
I mean, I agree. I see Timothy's you know, the linebackers against the running backs. I like that matchup too. I mean, there's a lot of matchups that we can't touch upon. Our wide receivers against their cornerbacks, their cornerbacks against our wide receivers, our defensive line against their O-line, their O-line against our defensive line. So, I mean, it's like you could touch upon anything. It's going to be a great matchup. If there's one that, you know, that's got me so hyped up because this guy just won't shut up. And you know, Michael Parsons, let me tell you something. Man, you're getting me. Listen, you had one good game last week. It was your little premier defensive end. Lane is going to fucking shut you down, dude. All right? You got no fucking chance. I'm calling it right now. He's going to go ahead and shut that shit down. That man ain't going to have shit. All right? All he's going to do is just going to curl up, cry like a little bitch. All right? And it's a wrap. So I'm not, you know, that's done. That's done and over with. I'm really looking forward to seeing what Devontae does against these cornerbacks. I mean, they got some good guys, you know, Joseph, they got Diggs. I credit to them and everything, but it's a whole different game come Monday night, man. I think they're going to go ahead and open this thing up and open it up real good.
I think for me, you know, talking, I like what you said there about Micah Parsons, you know, with him having to move to the edge with all their injuries, you know, he's going to be going up against Lane Johnson. That's quite a task. I actually reached out and was talking to Gabe Rangel there over at the Bro Barn, and he was talking specifically about the fact that Lane is right now working on what Micah Parsons brings to the table. And that's a completely different beast than, you know, these other ends we've seen from them. And he is, it's ridiculous that he's playing defensive end right now. But because of the injury to Keanu Neal with the COVID, him going on there, him possibly not playing, Micah Parsons might actually have to go back to middle linebacker. So I'm very intrigued to see if he goes to middle linebacker, how Miles, Kenny, everybody does against that. That's a big one for me. But for me, the big matchup is Jonathan Gannon and Kellen Moore. You know, they're going to have a game plan. You know, they're going to come out firing. And, you know, we haven't done the greatest against the run. If we allow them to establish that, they're going to pass. And they've been passing for over 300 yards per game in the two games they've had. And, you know, we've done well. Our defenses look pretty good. But this is going to be the biggest task at hand for Jonathan Gannon. What kind of defense is he going to try to run? I've seen so much 3-4. And, you know, with Brandon Graham, I understand that. He can play that defensive end role in a three-man front right there. And I think, you know, with your outside linebackers and your 3-4, Barnett and Jannard Avery, they really like him out there. I think that's been all right. But here's the thing. Josh Sweat, we want to see more of him, but he doesn't look good in that defensive end role. I think for me, and when it's a three-man front, I think for me, it's Milton Williams, who I really want to see if Jonathan Gannon gets him a lot of time as that defensive end in the 3-4 role, replacing Brandon Graham, because that's a huge loss. So I'm really excited to see how Jonathan Gannon, you know, he's talked about every week having a different, you know, scheme, front, everything. And I think this week you're going to have to see a lot of nickel and maybe some 3-3-5 nickel. So that would be something I'm very intrigued to see this week.
Me personally, I think it's like the interior of this, you know, this offensive line. You look at Connor Williams, a guy who could be taken advantage of. I think, you know, the way that Hargraves is playing, the way that Cox is playing, like, this is where, you know, they got to take advantage of Connor Williams and their center. I can't pronounce the name, last name, Tyler.
I just say Baidaz. I don't.
Tyler B. Tyler B.
There you go. There you go.
I feel like overall, I mean, you know, this is where you can get to Dak. You know, destroy that interior. Don't let them run the ball. Because, you know, they're going to try and run the ball on us. They're going to try and control us. Manhandle us. I feel like overall, if you can shut that down, that would be great. Because I do think this so far, this is going to be the best offense that we've faced. You know, Garoppolo, an aging Matt Ryan. I think Dak has everyone believing he's got a nice little squad. You know, he's got his wide receivers over here, and Amari Cooper, who will be playing most likely. It looks like that now. CeeDee Lamb has already showed us who he is as a player. He's very impressive. Overall, I feel like, but I really think that interior pressure, again, they have to come in there and wreak havoc. What's his name from the Bucks, the defensive tackle, big guy.
Vita Vea.
Vita Vea was causing havoc. I mean, if you can blow back Connor Williams, I mean, and really just cause that interior pressure, it should be everything.
I like what you say there, Gail, because that's exactly what I'm talking about. And, you know, Pete says it down here. They've tried Kerrigan in that defensive end role. I see him more as that outside linebacker. If you're having those stand-up rushers there, because Gail mentions, you know, how much havoc Hargrave has wreaked. Double teams going to Cox. Dude, I really like that. And I think Milton Williams, those three together, that is an interior push. I think those guys can feast, and you move them all around on the line and mix and match, but attack right where Gail was saying with Connor and Tyler there in the middle. And obviously Zach Martin's on the right side, so you're going to have some issues there. He's pretty damn good. But I think we could definitely get after him. You talk about they lost Lyle Collins on the right tackle to suspension. And now that Ty Nasecki, however you say it, he was ill. I'm not sure if he's going to be back. So it could be Terrence Steele as the right tackle. So we're losing Graham, but you could have these stand-up rushers, Josh Sweat, Derek Barnett, see if Kerrigan could get out there. I think, you know, we could definitely wreak some havoc on Dak, watch those short throws. So a lot of the linebackers, we're going to see how their coverage does this week.
I think one thing to keep in mind as well, I mean, Dak coming off the injury that he had last year, I'm looking at it, and through the first two games, he's only tried to rush the ball four times for a total of 13 yards. So I'm thinking that being this early in the year and what a catastrophic injury that was last year, that's still sitting in the back of his mind whenever he goes and takes off with the ball. So I think that if we are able to get pressure onto Dak Prescott, there's potential for him to get rid of the ball and potentially make mistakes. So I think that that should be our number one goal going into this game, is to create pressure on Dak and make him fuck up.
Now, Pete Nitz says they got Jalen Smith and Van Der Esch, right? I think both those players saw limited snaps. They got some of their snaps taken away, and I feel like they've played a little bit better the last couple weeks. I feel like, you know, when they're trying to play for some contracts, you know what it is. But I saw a comment here about the Tampa 2 from Xavier here. You know, it's almost like, you know, they're going to try and take away that deep ball. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they're going to try and, you know, make sure our speed doesn't affect them. But I feel like
we got no Nate Gary in coverage. For what that's worth.
Like, I feel like I was listening to some other podcasts from Dallas Cowboy land. Mm-hmm. Just some interesting takeaways from them. They're really concerned about they first of all, they said they had no concerns. The podcast I was listening to, they said they had no concerns about our base offense, but what they did have concerns was when Dak got outside of the pocket and he got outside of containment, and then they stressed the scramble rule, because once you get Jalen Hurts scrambling, all hell can break loose, and that's where they were a little concerned. They weren't really concerned about they weren't really respecting our run game. They felt like they could potentially slow down our run game. They weren't giving much credit to Miles Sanders either. Overall, I felt like they feel like their defense can handle our base offense. How do you guys feel about that?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think Miles Sanders' game plan going into Monday night is going to be pretty hectic. I mean, he's going to go and bring the pain, man. I think this is going to be a breakout game for him. I see him, he knows what the rival is all about. So, you know, he's been waiting for this, and, you know, Monday night's the day to go ahead and shine. I think he's going to be fine. I think he's going to go ahead and, you know, do his part, and it's going to be big, open up the game, you know, for everybody else to go ahead and do their thing. But I laugh at the fact that everybody's like, you know, worried about, you know, their linebackers. I mean, I don't know, man. Like, besides Michael Parsons, like, their linebackers don't even seem like they're in sync. You know, you mentioned about the contracts and everything, and they're not even all there. At one point, Jalen Smith was a threat, and it's like he's not even that anymore. You know what I mean? And then I never know how to pronounce Rander, whatever his name.
Vander Esch.
I'm not big on him. I get tired of hearing about him because my brother just, you know, talks him up like crazy. But he's not even that go-to guy this year neither. So, I don't know. I think the running game is going to be just fine.
Newer additions that the Cowboys have added, Trayvon Diggs, I mean, he's been performing so far this year. Do you guys have any fear about Devontae or anyone being shut down by him?
I don't think, you know, our offense, man, it starts with the run. We're second right now in rushing yards. We're actually running the ball, and Jalen Hurts is part of that. That was part of the threat we talked about before the season started. He's part of that. You know, people want to use that as an excuse. Oh, well, your quarterback's in that. Yes, he is. And it's, dude, I think we're going to attack him with the run game. Miles, Kenny, going to use them in the passing game as well. You're going to open it up. But, yeah, Diggs versus Smith, going to be very intriguing. One thing is, they're still 31st in the league in passing yards. They're still giving up a big chunk. So I think Rager, Quez, get these guys on the field. Let's attack them in the air. But first, you establish that run. I think we want to run the ball hard on their ass. And we talk about Micah Parsons having to move around. You could have to see Leighton Vander Esch or Jalen Smith due to the fact that, well, Keanu Neal's out because of COVID, like I mentioned earlier. You have all of these injuries to their team. DeMarcus Lawrence is out. All these guys hurt. So they're playing, you know, toss around. We're going through the same thing. So I think that's going to be huge for us, and it's nice that there's limited snaps for those guys. Maybe they're feeling down. I'm hoping that we can attack their linebackers. I'm with Prime. I think that this run game is going to be fine. Whoever's been talking trash, tune in, because I don't think, as much as Dan Quinn's helped that defense, I don't think they're going to stop our offense. Shootout time.
You know what? You say shootout. It's a time where you need to go to war with your downtown region. Attention listeners across the galaxy, all the way from Australia to Houston, do we have a pew problem? If so, our friends at Manscaped have cleared you for takeoff with their fourth generation and brand new lawnmower 4.0. Kick your pubes to the next planet with the Performance Package 4.0. The orbits in your pants will feel like you're in zero gravity when you use the best tools for the job from the leaders in male grooming. Join the 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped and get your rocket ready for takeoff by going to manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping with the code FANSIDED20.
And now, speaking about, you know, Dallas Week and speaking about space, I think it's only appropriate to talk about, you know, if your southern region, your little ding-a-ling is looking like an Ewok, I think it's maybe time to change that thing. You don't want it looking like that. If you are ready for an out-of-this-world experience, if you live in the USA, Canada, UK, Europe, Australia, South Africa, or Singapore, you can get yourself a Manscaped. First scheduled for liftoff, the new lawnmower 4.0 trimmer. This spaceship is here to guide you on a journey to trim your body, balls, butt, and even Uranus.
The fourth generation trimmer also features a cutting edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin safe technology. The lawnmower 4.0 has 7,000 RPM motor. A new multi-function on and off switch can engage a travel lock and is even waterproof. The Lawnmower 4.0 also has a 4000K LED spotlight you can turn on and off when needed for a most precise shave throughout your travels across the universe.
The Weed Whacker is also waterproof and uses a 9000 RPM motor-powered 360-degree rotary dual blade system. This nose and ear hair trimmer provides proprietary skin-safe technology with help prevent nicks, snags, and tugs in those delicate holes. Don't forget to use Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant and their Crop Reviver to help your little planets be on their A-game while feeling the sun's heat. Manscaped even threw in two free gifts to their Performance Package 4.0, the Manscaped Boxers and the Shed Travel Bag. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code FANSIDED20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code FANSIDED20 at manscaped.com. For a clean Trinity and beyond, your space balls will thank you.
And I will thank you guys for always being professionals that you are. You know, you talk about professionals. We're talk about players that you think will step up big. In this big Dallas week, give me one player offense wise and one player defense wise that you believe that will be a standout performer this week?
Well, there's one guy. I mean, the easy answer for me, I would say Jalen Hurts, but I'm going to take it to the next level in the fact that we had a major hole that opened up in our offensive line this week with Brandon Brooks going down. And I think that we're going to cash that check today. That Alabama lineman that we ended up picking up, Landon Dickerson, I think is going to fill his shoes mighty fine. You know, I don't want the end of the Brandon Brooks era to be here yet. I think he's still one of the best guards, honestly, I've ever seen wear an Eagles uniform. But it is Landon's time to show what he has. And I think that he is going to perform very well, and we're not going to miss a beat in that right guard position.
I'm going to say that on the defensive side, you know, I'm going with my linebacker, man. I think Alex Singleton is definitely looking forward to this game, man. He's going to be all over the field. You know, somebody had mentioned about the Tampa 2 and dropping back. Hey, listen, man, Alex has been looking real good, and I think he's not going to have no problems when it comes to, you know, having to do that. I'm definitely looking forward to seeing, you know, his coverage on that field. You know, he's just like a whole totally different person this year, man. So, I mean, he's given me a reason to talk about linebackers. So, you know, I'm going to go ahead and ride with Alex Singleton on this one.
We're just going to act like you weren't talking about Gary last year.
you can't let that fucking go, can you?
What about you, Jimmy?
Well, for me, on the defensive side of the ball, I've said his name a couple times this show. I think that he's going to have to step in, especially in those nickel packages. And I think we're going to see a lot of that. Milton Williams, you know, because Derek Barnett, he plays a stand-up rusher. That's a completely different role in this defense. And that's something I thought in this offseason he should be doing. So glad to see that. Josh Sweat, he's going to come in, probably have to try to play both those roles just to help out. But I think Milton Williams, I think a big game for him. I would like to see him, but, you know, that's piggybacking off what Gale and then that last comment. You know, Hargrave and Cox, they're going to feast. And I think that's, you know, when people are looking to them, that opens up other guys. So Milton Williams, big game on defense. And then on offense, I really like the whole Smith versus Diggs, and I think Smith's going to get the better of him. But if I could pick a random one, just going for random names here, I'm going to Jalen Reagor. I think, you know, kind of pissed off. You know, he stepped out. Maybe there was a nudge there. Who cares? Whatever. He didn't get the touchdown. That killed the momentum in that game. And I think that we're going to see a big game from Jalen Reagor and maybe even a little sprinkle of Quez Watkins too. Shootout. That's the feel I'm really just getting. I think that's how what we're going to have to do. You know, not to be Booger McFarland and we got to score more points. I'm just saying that we are really going to have to score points. I think this defense, we're in for a tough test. And hey, I'd love to see us shut them down, but they've got some firepower here.
For me, offense wise, I'm going to go Devonta Smith. I think he's going to have to take advantage of where, you know, he knows Diggs very well. Thank you, Kyle. Thank you. Shout out to Kyle. I just think defense wise, I think I feel like Cox is going to show out, you know, like, I feel like Cox has got to be motivated as, you know, he's got to step up as that leader. You know, you have Brandon Graham as that guy to like bring these guys together, but I think he's got to elevate and get these guys motivated. And there's no other way to show out than on primetime television and beat Dallas. Like that sets the tone for the whole rest of, like, you beat Dallas in primetime, man, it should be great. Now Xavier says, can we see Cox get a few reps at defensive end, have Sweat, Javon, Hassan, and Cox line? You can get creative like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, Cox sure. Essentially does play defensive end in that 3-4. That's what you're looking at. The three guys that we have, the big boys, and Ridgeway has been coming in too. Not just, you know, Hargrave and Cox, but you have them rotating, and it's essentially Cox as a defensive end. And he did this in Billy Davis' defense back in the day. So it's like, he has that perfect mold. The only thing was Brandon Graham, how great he was. He was just, dude, it's weird that a guy his size, that he was able to play that role. So for me, that's a concern, but I love where Xavier's head's at. You know, Cox is going to have, you know, to take on some of these tackles and just where he, you know, is lining up. But I love that.
Now, shout out to our friend, Stephen Michael Puga. Very well-known. Eagle fan living in Texas. He's been holding it down for quite some time. Usually goes to the games, is rousing up Cowboy fans, and
he'll be there.
Still,
he'll be there on Monday.
Still alive.
He'll be there on Monday.
He's still alive. So we're who's going to the game? Puga's asking.
Puga, man, I wish I could have been there, man. It was the plan, but you know, it is what it is.
Represent as well.
Yeah. Puka's definitely going to represent. You know, he likes to. He's one of those guys that like to sit right in the heart and center of all those fans in there. They can't handle him, so you know what I mean. Keep an eye out for Puka on Monday night.
Let him know.
We might have to share some Puka content and see what's going on there down in Dallas. I think it is it's actually a big game for you. Talk about like homecoming type situation, you know, Jalen Reagor, they're both Texas dudes, Houston, you know, that's where Jalen's from. So
is Lane a Texas guy as well?
I believe so. Mm-hmm. He was also a quarterback.
Wow. And a tight end. Wild.
Mm-hmm. You see his quarterback footage in high school?
I have.
Pretty interesting.
Yep.
Those late nights watching Lane Johnson play quarterback. That's what I do.
Well, I was gonna say, you know, I felt like everyone was kind of just leaving it out there, trying to pick different players, you know. But I think we all feel that this is huge. Obviously, not just for the Eagles, but Jalen Hurts, you know, going back to Texas. But I think Jalen is going to be unleashed, and it's going to be Jalen versus Dak for the foreseeable future for a while. So this is going to be exciting, round one. And I get last year, I just feel like this is really Hurts' first start. Last year was just too much, you know. I just don't count that season, but I think this is going to be a very exciting game, and I think Jalen Hurts is going to whoop that ass on the ground and in the air.
Got a question here from Tim. He says, what is your biggest concern defensively this week? I'm still nervous about the linebackers. I saw Seth Joyner going in on linebackers. I mean, obviously he has a right as a former linebacker and potential, you know, Hall of Famer. Did he get nominated? Is he a nominated?
Did he get nominated? Joyner? I think all I heard was Westbrook and McNabb.
Yeah. Westbrook, McNabb, Jeff Garcia. There's a couple other guys on there, but overall, but you know, Seth Joyner going in on linebacker. He's talking about, you know, he likes Singleton, likes what he brings to the table, but is he the guy? Like, you know, and you don't want to get hurdled by Ezekiel Elliott. I'm telling you. I'm telling you now. You get trucked, you get hurdled, it sets a vibe. Who got hurdled 2 years ago?
I don't remember.
Malcolm
got trucked.
Malcolm got trucked. Yeah, it might have been Rodney, the guy.
Rodney got hurdled.
Yeah.
You know how bad it is when you get hurdled? Like, you can't even look your own teammates in the face. Like, bro, you go back and watch the All-22, you're like, I don't want to watch that.
Listen, man. I love listening to Seth. You know, I heard him on the Return Game podcast, and you know, he was one of the reasons why I was getting all hyped up today listening about Eagles Cowboys rivalry. He touches upon a good point, you know, and he tries to find, you know, that way to go ahead and have confidence in our linebackers, and you know, for him to go ahead and even just say like, Alex Singleton is that guy. I mean, that means a lot coming from Seth Joyner. I mean, like, not saying that he like is that main guy, but he's doing his thing. And you know, I'm not with him on the fact that, you know, like, he doesn't think that, you know, Alex can go ahead and hold his. I really think that it's going to be a linebacker running back game on Monday.
Here comes that linebacker crush.
I'm telling you, man, Alex Singleton has just been, yeah, man, whatever you want to call it, man. I mean, shit, the guy, he's killing it, man. He's killing it. I haven't seen linebacker like that in a minute all over the field the way this guy is. And so far, like, looking at the stats, he's leading in tackles in all, you know, the two games that we played. Well,
he kind of like zeroing in on the missed tackles. And I think if you go back and watch some of the film, you see some of the missed tackles and, like, you know, I understand what he's saying, but just the way that we invest in linebackers, it always goes back to the money. Like, if you want to throw some money at it, then we wouldn't be having this conversation. But we're hoping that you know, you feel like you have those speedy guys to you know, hopefully Davion's got to stay healthy. Mm-hmm. You think about Wilson. I've seen the missed tackles as well. But overall, you're just hoping that front really steps out, and they got a task this weekend. I mean, yeah. From a scale of 1 to 10, how are we feeling about the defense versus our offense?
Our defense versus their offense?
Our defense versus scale of 1 to 10.
Honestly, I'm at like a 7.
What's up with the side though?
Because I mean, that's honestly like I feel like it's still a biasly high number. It's these wide receivers that got me nervous, man. I really like, if Steven Nelson would have completed that jumped route and intercepted that ball last week and maybe even taken it to the house, because he would have had the path to, I would be feeling a lot better. But honestly, I have been somewhat underwhelmed by Steven Nelson so far. I think that they have a really strong wide receiver core, and I think I think that's how they would try and attack us, man. I mean, Zeke Elliott has obviously been on the downtrend the past few years. I think that this team's strength is their passing game. And I mean, you look at Dak Prescott, what'd he throw, fucking 58 balls in the first game? They obviously lean on Dak hard. And he, he's a talented quarterback, man. So I our defense versus them, I started in the beginning of the show. I said, I believe that this is going to be a shootout and it's going to come down to whoever scores last. And that's where I stand. I worry about these wideouts.
Ooh, the millennial keeping it 100, keeping it a buck, as they say. Pete Nathan at a 5. Elena Franklin in the chat. She's keeping it a cool 7-11.
I'll give it a 6.
Tim Hayes is at a 6-7. It's a good call. The middle of the field is his biggest concern. We have any other scores out there in the chat?
I was just going to say, you know, 6-7, that's a good range to be. You can be excited. These guys have really looked good. Obviously, the middle of the field is the biggest concern, but I think it all lies on Jonathan Gannon, what he's been given, and he's done a really good job. You talk about what we thought we were going to get from Pitts or Kittle, and both didn't do shit. Kittle just had 4 catches for 17 yards. Like, that's pretty amazing to shut him down like that. And I think, you know, they've been put in a good position, but they definitely have their flaws. So we may get exploited. That's my biggest concern as well. But if Gannon can do the same thing, if we can shut that run down. So I'm at a 6, maybe, you know, I was feeling more like a 7 when Brandon Graham was still here. But we'll see how, you know, we plug that in and we'll go from there.
I saw that Moira was at a 6, right? And then Mr. Iflo was at an 8.
Yep. I love it.
Okay. Okay. Brian, great.
I'm at a 7. I think these guys, you know, there is a lot that we have to worry about. You know, where one is going to fail, another one's going to go ahead and do their thing. That's just the part that, you know, we got to make sure that we play tight on Monday. You know, I'm a little bit worried about the DBs. I think everybody else is pretty much going to go ahead and play their part. You know, I'm not taking nothing away from Cooper and Lamb. They're, you know, they're good wide receivers. They got some moves to them. So, you know, we saw in the preseason how much Nelson and, you know, Slay were getting hurt on these moves. I'm just hoping that the fact that was just, you know, for show for the preseason to make people think that, and, you know, they're going to come out being beast on Monday because they need to be. You know what I mean? You're going against two, you know, high-quality wide receivers that, you know, I'm not going to say that I'm like scared of, but, you know, I'm not going to go ahead and not worry about, you know, what they could go ahead and do.
We need another picture. Why you keep using the same picture? You trying to make me scared of the same picture?
I'm just putting it up there, guy. I'm giving visual cues to all the people that are on YouTube.
just those two guys. That's it.
Well, he said about
Yeah, he was at a 5.
Do you think Gannon blitzes more this week? Because we haven't really been blitzing much. And, you know, if you want to get Dak throwing those quick slants, he'll hit Lamb all day. And, you know, if we're playing a lot of zone like we have been, you know, they will find the holes in that zone. So it's a little concerning.
I just want to turn over.
We were so close last week, for sure.
I have a feeling they do blitz. I think, you know, I don't think they're going to be as predictable. I think they might throw some wrinkles in, you know.
Why not? I mean, Evan mentioned
without Graham,
right? But why not? I mean, Evan mentioned it earlier. You know, Dak still has that in the back of his mind. You know, his injury. So if you go ahead and put that pressure on him, and what's he going to do? Is he going to get stuck in the moment, or is he going to let that ball loose? Do a misplay? I mean, so why not? Why not try it? See how it goes. My thing is again, I hope they just come in with a good game plan. And if they have to make some adjustments, make it at the right time so that way, you know, we can pull out this W. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that was exactly what I was going to echo, Prime, just the fact that I think if we blitz and get to Dak early and often, that'll rattle him, get inside his head. And that's exactly where we want him to be, is confused and flustered and not knowing where the rush is going to be coming from.
Now, Ivan, shout out to Ivan. Ivan also joined us for a tailgate last week. He says, what? And his son, his son had the eagle wings.
Yeah, little man.
Nice.
He said, what one Dallas player do we need to shut down? I think, it's one player. I mean, you cut off the head. Like, if you can get Dak riled up and out of character. But if you're going to go one other player, I think shut down. I mean.
I'm kind of stuck in between.
CeeDee Lamb?
I was stuck in between the running backs, honestly, because like in years past, I would say Zeke Elliott. Zeke Elliott has kind of had our number, man.
Tony Pollard.
But that's what I was getting at. That's literally what I was getting at, is that, like, okay, I'm between, you got to shut down Zeke and Tony Pollard. They're kind of turning into, I don't want to call him a two-headed monster, because honestly, I've been saying, I think that Tony Pollard ends up being the lead back at Dallas by the time the season's over. But
I think Ewok is out of there.
Yeah. I'm thinking that those are the two guys in my mind you got to shut down. If you can make them one dimensional, and hope that Slay just continues to play well and shut down one of those wide receivers, then they really are limited on their options.
Well, yeah, you got to shut down the run game. I think that's obvious. I mean, yep, right what Evan just said. I mean, one-dimensional, shut down Pollard and Zeke. That's going to be a tough task for our linebackers. But it comes down to, for me, I was struggling between the run game and CeeDee Lamb, because Amari Cooper, I feel comfortable with Slay and Nelson. They've looked really good on the outside so far in these two games. I want to see how Jonathan Gannon uses Avante Maddox, these linebackers, and the safeties. Everybody's going to need to help out here, because CeeDee Lamb in the slot, well, he gets the job done. So they might be missing Michael Gallup. That's fine. They're going to find a way to get this dude the ball. I think he had like 8 catches, then 9 catches. I mean, he's been getting the ball. And yeah, Cooper, you definitely want to watch out for, but CeeDee Lamb frightens me, and in the return game too. So keep an eye on him.
Yeah. You know, the intel I was picking up from, you know, multiple podcasts out there, they're talking about Pollard and his ability to get outside. They think they can run on us to the outside with Pollard. Not only is he effective, effective in space as a pass catcher. We know that he went to Memphis. We got our own guy from Memphis. It's the middle back round you, where you can get quality backs. And I think Tony Pollard is the guy who's effective in space as well. So, you know, I think they're pretty high on him. And he was a 5th round pick as well, correct? Mm-hmm. Or, yep.
Yeah, he was low down.
And watch him in the return game too. He's their kick returner.
I got a question for the group here, just based off of the first two games. I want to know, who do you guys, who's been the biggest surprise rookie for the Eagles so far that has really just overperformed in your mind?
Surprise rookie? I guess Devontae.
Is that a surprise?
No. Oh, well, Kenneth Gainwell. Well, I'm not even surprised about Kenneth Gainwell either, though.
I think the biggest surprise would be underperformed. Zach McPherson not even getting any snaps. And we talked about, we need Steven Nelson here so that Zach McPherson could, you know, learn. I would at least like to see him get some kind of reps in there, but he has not really played at all.
I don't know. That's a tough one, because, you know, Gainwell and Smith will be the choices. But, you know, again, like you said, why be surprised? We know what these guys were all about. So, I mean, I'm really thinking, like, who else is out there that we could go ahead and throw into the category? Everybody else is just pretty much new faces to the team if we went that route. But, you know, rookie-wise, I don't know. That's
Pete Nathan kind of – I mean, Patrick Johnson's only got 3 tackles so far this year, but just the amount for a 7th-round pick that we've been seeing him out there, to me, that is what has been a surprise, is just that Gannon and this defense, they believe in Patrick Johnson to fill in even before Brandon Graham went down. So that's been a nice addition, I believe.
Well, for Patrick, it kind of spelled out right when we drafted him that there had to be a stand-up rusher role just for who he is. And between, it's just him and Jannard Avery. Those are the only guys that are playing the strong side linebacker with a certain role. So it's weird. We just have that position strictly for them. And we talked about, before, you know, the season started, who would make this roster. And we talked about Patrick Johnson because he brought that only depth there. So I like that. And I think he's going to have to get more snaps now because other guys are going to have to be used in different areas. But, yeah, I like that name.
Yeah, I think we talked
about all these guys, though, you know. So
yeah, for sure. Well, I think another one is that, like, and now that Brandon Graham is gone, just based off of what you were saying with the surprise underperformance, I mean, Kerrigan has been somewhat lost in the mix here. I have been, after how long he just completely dominated us while he was in Washington. Like, he was a thorn in our ass for like a decade. And I was expecting him to come here and just light it up. But, you know, I'm still letting him shake off the rust. I'm letting him get into regular season form. But we need him to step up now that BG's done.
No, but see, well,
that's it's that, ripped.
But that's the thing, too. He's going against a division rivalry. Mm-hmm. So it's like, remember, when he played for Washington, he killed Dallas. He killed us.
He's a Cowboy. Hey,
today's that. I mean, Monday night's that day. You know what I mean? Yeah. Bring that old Kerrigan the fuck back out and get through that line and go put a hurting on deck.
Here's what it is for me with Kerrigan. Obviously, he had the thumb injury. Whatever. We don't care. We want to see, you know, getting up to speed. Let's ride. Divisional game. But the thing is that I've been seeing for Kerrigan is what's weird is he's playing a completely different role. He's playing that defensive end. That's why I keep alluding to it. He is playing in a role where he was usually the outside guy in Washington. He was that outside linebacker, the stand-up rusher. So we're not using him like that. And it's probably because of his age. He's lost a step a little bit. That's fine. But he's now supposed to be this defensive end in a 3-4, and that's just not a role he's really winning at one-on-ones. And I think he really needs to step it up, or you're going to see Milt Williams get those reps. Maybe Teron Jackson can fill in there. But I agree with you 100%. Kerrigan is somebody who has fallen off, and he's really stood out to me that maybe use him as an outside linebacker, but you've got Sweat, Barnett, guys that you like that are better than him. So figure it out, Jonathan.
Now, Brian says, do you guys feel that Howie is still having final say on the game day? 53-man roster is going to limit Sirianni's ability to game plan and establish his offense. I think it's a joint effort. I think Sirianni's like bought into the idea of like, this is a group thing, group project, but obviously, you know, Howie's got all to say, but I think it's a group project. They're all working on together. I know recently we just added, Jack Anderson, yep. Texas Tech, offensive guard. He's got like 38 starts. Texas Tech seventh round player pick that we got off the practice squad for the Bills. I feel like we still want to get some depth. So I think picking up Jack Anderson. I know we have Herbig. Yeah, that's read my mind. Nate Herbig as our depth piece behind Landon Dickerson. So I feel like add another guard. I like it.
Yeah, I think Jack Anderson, you know me, I'm always going to be reaching out to Gabe. Any kind of insight I can get on Lyman. And because Jack actually has the same agent as Lane Johnson, they know each other. Gabe said that he's a great guy. I was like, any kind of insight on his game? He's like, I mean, honestly, he's like, I haven't got to work with him, so I'm not going to, you know, other than the, you know, they say he's got the shorter arms. That's why he dropped in the draft. He was seventh rounder, but this kid's got a mean streak. He said he's perfect for Philly. He's just somebody that loves to play football and hit people, dude. So I love the addition, and anybody we can add to this locker room that seems like a Philly dude, I'm all about it.
How about Lou? Shout out to Lou from Facebook. He says, cheers. Call up Chris Long. Mm-hmm. Imagine that.
That would be nice, but I mean, I feel like Chris hasn't been actively working out and staying in NFL shape. He seems to be enjoying his retirement, as he should.
Using recreational marijuana, I believe, probably.
That motherfucker.
For me, you got to get a defensive end, defensive tackle hybrid. That's what you don't want, a Chris Long. You don't want somebody that goes out there on the edge. I really feel Brandon Graham was playing a completely different role this year, and he was doing well. And sometimes we were lining up in 4-3 a couple times against the Falcons. That's it. But I really feel this. You could fill this void. We got lots of cap space, so I wouldn't be surprised if Howie did something there.
I would love for this week. I know that BG is injured, but I would still love to have him mic'd up on the sideline just because he's one of the number one shit talkers we got on the team. And this in Dallas week, I know that this is his lifeblood now for as long as he's been an Eagle, that he looks forward to this week just as much as anybody, just as much as we do. So to have him mic'd up will be cool this week, just to hear what he has to say.
Sure.
Tim says, can we talk about how much of a beast Elade has been this season? You know, you talk about PFF, you know, they have their rankings. Trent Williams from San Fran is ranked number one, left tackle. Number two is Jordan Mailata. So he graded out pretty well. I mean, he went up against Bosa. you didn't hear much of Bosa. Bosa, you know, got his at times, but overall, I mean, a lot of his is shown to be very serviceable, right? Earlier on in his career. I mean, it's a great story, dude. I'm telling you. I don't know who's got the movie rights for Jordan Mailata's Blind Side. This movie is way better.
We're
looking at Invisible
Too. Isn't it crazy too? Like, just this is almost like Green Bay quarterback luck that we have struck with our left tackle position, to go from a Hall of Fame undrafted tight end in Jason Peters and have him for over a decade, and now go on to a guy who has really, really shown out. I mean, he just picked up the game of football a few years ago, and he has. Easily, he stole the job in preseason versus a first round pick, which, I mean, Andre Dillard's been just obsolete ever since that happened. So it's crazy how we've struck gold like that.
I was just going to say, the perfect thing is, you know, that not only does Howie get to cover up the fact that, you know, Andre Dillard was the pick, you look at Jordan Mailata and you're like, damn, you know, seventh rounder. That's awesome. What a great story. But Howie just fleeced Jordan Mailata himself and his agent by giving him a deal this year, extending him rather than next year, where the money is going to go up and all of the contracts, all of the extensions, everybody's money's going up. So Howie, he really is going to try to make you forget about that Diller pick. And I think Jordan Mailata is going to keep beating ass, and we're going to really just have no problem forgetting.
Jordan's like, yo, give me pay right now so I can get money now. Like, I'm going to get mine now, right now. So
he'll show he's worth more. You're right.
Yep. He absolutely will. And I hate to say it, but I think that was a smart play on Howie's part, and locking him up early, getting him at a real cheap deal, and just to keep our money long for years to come. And, you know, this is pretty much exactly what I said at the end of last year, all offseason. We talked about, is this Howie Roseman's last year? You know what? He made some good picks again this year. He revived himself, and Howie Roseman's going to be here until 2040. There's no getting rid of him.
Yep.
Yeah. Speaking of long, Lou just wanted to make sure you guys knew that Chris Long, that was sarcasm. So,
Lou kind of
figured that.
We're just clarifying. I don't want you to feel a certain way in the chat.
When I made the mention of you don't want Chris Long, I meant that prototype. A lot of people are saying, you know, defensive end, bringing a defensive end. I think it's a bigger defensive end. You want.
Prime thought he was serious. So,
I thought he was serious.
There we go. It's clarified now.
Call him up.
It's clear. But before we get out of here, I know we got to roll out of here real quick. We'll start with Jimmy. Last words before we get out of here.
Yeah, well, you got to start off. Dallas sucks. Let's all keep that in mind. But it's Dallas week. Let's get pumped up. Let's get behind our team. Our only job as fans is to root for our damn team. And they're young. We talked about before the season started, temper your expectations. Don't look at the wins and losses. Let's look at how they come back. We got our loss. So let's watch how they hold themselves accountable, how they get up from this. So let's go, Birds. Go into their house. Smack them right in the mouth. Establish that run. Get Jalen going. Let's go beat some ass. I want to thank everybody for taking the time for tuning in tonight. Truly appreciate all of you guys who take the time to watch us. I appreciate Birdman. Yes, if you guys can help us get to 1,000 subscribers, hit that subscribe button. We truly appreciate it on YouTube. You guys are truly awesome. I cannot wait for doing another show before the game. I'll see you then. But if not, fuck Dallas. And go Birds!
Jimmy. Prime.
Just forget about last week. Last week is done and over with. It's a whole new week. It's a whole new game plan. Sirianni and the boys, they realize, you know, the mistakes that were made, and that's what they focused on this whole week leading up to Monday. So I really feel like we're going to get a different outcome. These guys are going to come out slinging it because, you know, they want to go ahead and prove to us fan base, you know, they are that team. This is Nick Sirianni's first divisional game. Against our rivalry team. Well, you know, many don't consider, but I do. I definitely consider this being a big rivalry game. So I think this is going to be just as much as exciting for him. I mean, look at him today, man. He had another good shirt on. You know, I love that shirt. Definitely want to go find that shirt and get it. I'm just, you know, really excited, souped up. You know, I'm going to go ahead and keep on talking shit to my brother. So that's going to be, you know, the fun thing. But, you know, just like Jimmy said, fuck Dallas. It's, you know, it's Dallas Eagles week, man. Let's go. You know, let's get this shit going.
As for me, I hope that the everybody, all the fans, everybody out in Eagles Nation is amped up for this game. I know I am. I know we all are. I want the revival of this rivalry. I want. I know that the dumbass taunting law rules exist so far this year. You know what? I say throw that out the fucking window this game. I will accept the 15-yard penalties after a touchdown. I don't give a shit. I want someone standing on the star. I want Devontae standing on the star with his arms out. I want it all. I want this rivalry back. I want them pissed off at each other. I want a potential little scuffle to break out after a play. I want it all. I want Eagles-Dallas to be our number one rivalry because that's what it is to us. Fuck Dallas. Go Birds. And, yeah, that's it. Go Birds.
Sounds about right.
You know, overall, man, this is the perfect opportunity for our Eagles to get back on the right track. You go down to a hostile environment. You take on your heated rivals. You catch that dub. Build off the energy. It'll do wonders for the confidence of this rookie head coach. Our QB1 and Jalen Hurts, I feel like, you know, these guys have something to play for. And this is an opportunity to show the rest of the NFL, who the Eagles are. I think, you know, if you're not confident, I think you need to go to the hospital, get your pulse checked right now. Because right now, I mean, it's opportunity to get back on the track. You know, hey, Eagles, it's all in your hands. It is all in your hands. We believe in you. I think, you know, the rest of the league, they don't know who you are. We know who you guys are in heart, so. Just at the end of the day, man, this team's just got to show us heart, man. I think, you know, they got to play connected. They got to play for the next man and catch that dub. And we will be 2-1 rolling in to the Kansas City Chiefs game. So I'm feeling good. I don't know if you're not feeling good. I'm going to send you well wishes. But for me and the gang, we will see you in the next one. And as always, fly. Eagles fly.